sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to The Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I am Johnny.
And welcome to the show. This week we're reviewing Intruder. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. He'll give our first thoughts, and then we'll do a deep spoiler analysis. But John, make sure you're following us at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice. Just to fill in the audience, we are doing a special... Four specials. We're doing four slasher movies.
We're slashing prices on our Patreon.
Amazing. You just came up with that on your spot.
I thought about it for a long time.
We're doing four slasher movies. And they're all, I would say they're all under the radar. I don't think these are like known.
Except for maybe the last one.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It's like if you watched any horror movies, this is probably a movie that came up in recommendation.
Yeah, so these four make a perfect mold, a jello mold.
There it is. We just cut all the rest out. This good cut.
Yeah. Because they're all jello movies.
For the most part. Yeah.
Rolando, I have a question.
Yes.
Before we get into it, How do you feel about your chair?
I'm so glad you asked. It's a question. It's my favorite type of question. I'm going to say I fucking hate my chair.
All right.
Yes.
So you heard it here, folks. Let's send Rolando another chair.
Yes, please. I think I picked this one off the street in front of a Goodwill. I'd actually go in the Goodwill and get it. It's actually on this. It was
because all the people in the know all the good stuff is outside of the Goodwill. Yes.
And it's uncomfortable. It's difficult, and it makes a lot of noises, like an old person. It's ready to be retired. This chair. I hate this chair. I don't need anything fancy. I just need, I don't know, gaming chair. Just sort of like,
Well, I like my chair.
Oh yeah, you have. I don't know if the audience. You've described this before.
A vintage-y chair.
You have a vintage-y.
What's a? It is a vintage chair, I guess.
Like private investigator chair with
sort of. Yeah, it's a old like red. Forgive me, fellow vegans. Red, like deep red.
Oh, no?
Spoiler. Little teaser. Deep red leather tufted with gold tuft buttons chair.
Yeah.
That reclines. And I got it off a show called, I forgot what it's called already, Hunters.
Hunters. Oh, yeah. I remember this.
I think it was a Pacino's chair.
So yeah, that was when you worked on the Prime show, right? And it was set during the 70s, right? Something like that?
Yes.
So yeah,
something like that.
70-ish looking chair.
Yes.
Yes.
Correct.
So not in the parking lot of a Goodwill.
No. Well, I mean, it might have been. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes the prices, not to go off track, but sometimes the prices of the Goodwill are not worth it.
Seriously. But sometimes you find really good stuff. Because my favorite thing about living in a place like Los Angeles is you can go to a Goodwill on certain parts of the city, and I don't think people understand, but I don't think they truly understand the dramatic dynamic between which part of town is obviously rich and how you just walk like 2 blocks over and people are obviously super poor.
Yes.
With that said, you know, people that aren't well off don't understand. Nobody gives a shit about name brand. So sometimes you go to a Goodwill and you get something super expensive for like 20 bucks.
Yeah. There's always people who are. And believe me, those Goodwills are well known and are heavily attended. Okay. Well, that was our review of Intruder. Speaking of retail.
Thank you, Scott Spiegel. Yes. R.I.P.
Intruder. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For Intruder, coming in at number 3. Bunch of friends having fun.
Yeah.
Because that's what the movie's about, I think. The movie's not about the murders. It's about the friends you made along the way. Coming in at number two for Intruder, overnight crew works double shifts.
Yep, accurate.
Yeah. And coming in at number one for Intruder, Dan Hicks was a chameleon.
Dan Hicks was a chameleon.
R.I.P. Dan Hicks.
Yeah. Has a sizable role in this one.
And let me give one more if I can do it off the top of my head. It's not going to be five words, though. Do not be confused. Both Raimi brothers are in this.
Yeah.
I did not pay attention to the credits, and I was like, man, Ted and Sam look so much alike, because I thought only Sam was in the movie.
No, for reals, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh wait, they're both in the movie. They just both play very similar parts too. They're both wearing aprons.
Yeah, it's like they play the exact same parts. They're like staff in the back, the deli or whatever. Which one of the reasons why when I heard about this movie, I wanted to watch it because it has heavy Evil Dead connections, like we're already talking about.
Yeah. It's basically the same exact cast and crew.
Sam Raimi, Ted Raimi, Scott Spiegel.
Greg Nicotero helped with the special effects and all that. And yeah.
Dan Hicks is in this. There's a cameo later by Bruce Campbell. I don't think that's a spoiler, though.
No, well, because also for the longest time, this movie was like marketed as starring Bruce Campbell, but he comes out literally for like the last 2 months.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. even writer, producer Lawrence Bender is also a cameo in this.
But like comes out with, Bruce Campbell.
So the pedigree is high. So yeah. What did you think of Intruder, John? Evil Dead 2 is your favorite movie. Evil Dead 2 is your favorite. Yeah, you should say that on top.
It was fun. Right. Up to a certain point. Then after a while, I'm like, okay, I can tell that they're having fun. I'm just like, this movie feels like the definition of winging it.
Right. Yeah. And that,
I mean, but it's like winging it by people that know what they're doing, but it still very much felt like they're
raw attempt at making movies. I think it's because like when they made their Evil Dead movies, they kind of did the same thing, right? They're like, oh, you know what would be cool? Yeah. We'll do this. Yeah. And they just made it and came out really well. And then, you know, Raimi kind of did the same thing with his second movie, Crime Wave. And it kind of feels the same way. And,
So I think Evil Dead 2 was a little more thought out. And then Evil Dead 1, they just had to go with the flow and try to figure it out. And that's why I think that movie took, it was like a really absurd amount of months that they kept having to go back to the cabin to keep filming.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it was like they were figuring it out or figuring out
this
what
one
was cool.
Felt like they did it in like 5 days.
5 days.
Yeah, I don't know how long it took him to shoot it, but it felt very short.
Right. Yeah, and it's Scott Spiegel writing and directing this. One of the trademarks of Evil Dead, and I guess this group, is the sort of POV moving camera, which is we see right away, almost immediately. Like it's like literally the first shots. We're like going through shopping carts, and we're going through the store, the parking lot. It's like it's such a signature iconic shot, you know. That they kind of use. Did that set the tone for you? That
what if we start the scene from the POV of the inside of the shopping cart basket?
And we're putting groceries inside as we go.
I'm like, what?
This is great. This is a great idea.
Oh, which I'd be remiss if I didn't mention that this was shot in Bell, California, at an actual grocery store that they shot at only in evenings, right?
Right.
When the store was closed. Pretty cool. We got to go visit it.
If it still stands, yeah. Yeah, we should look it up. But yes, Intruder.
Oh, this entire movie was shot using short ends. So I wonder if they did it on the super, super cheap.
What are short ends?
So that's the tail end of the film, the film roll that hasn't been used yet.
Oh, so they literally were just...
I'm wondering, yeah.
Yeah, because if it's...
And at one point in pre-production, Toby Hooper was set to direct.
What? Toby Hooper? Damn.
Yeah, weird.
That's a weird...
Shot over the course of 2 weeks. There you go.
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like whenever they could get the supermarket, probably only can get it for 2 weeks, the supermarket.
Yeah, that would make sense. So what do you think, though?
I say that I am very... There's things I like about it, but I'm more or less mixed. Because I really enjoyed the ending of this movie. It was very unique.
Yeah.
I would say the middle of this movie doesn't really work for me.
It's like that's when all the killings are happening, too, and it's just... like we've been talking about, it just felt a little bit too like just winging it. Like, oh, okay, how about we just, you know, go back to this guy and he dies like this.
Yeah, and I think that could be part of it too, is that I thought the kills were really creative and fun, and it was pretty gruesome, a lot of the murder, a lot of the killings and stuff. I thought were very gruesome and very well done. But I didn't, like, for example, like Ted Raimi. He's not really a character in this movie. I mean, he's in the movie and he's like, they have him.
He doesn't talk, right?
He doesn't talk. He just has a couple of things he does. So, yeah. Like, he's like chopping stuff up. He's like cooking stuff.
I think that's where I got confused. Cause again, Sam and Ted look so much alike during this time. I just thought like, what, why are we cutting back to him? Why is he wearing glasses? I thought it was a continuity error for like 10 minutes of the movie.
And so like, he's not really, and then he dies and then it's just like, okay. But in, it's fun because we're fans of this team and their work. So it's a fun cameo, but it's, if you didn't know what was going on, you'd be like, okay, well that guy that never talked, that's, they keep cutting to, dies. And the same thing with Sam, they're just basically just cameo deaths is what they are in this movie.
Just Scott's friends.
Right. Yeah. And then really kind of like loose plot here is Liz Kern, who plays Jennifer, is broken up with the, what is it, David Burnt, and he plays Craig.
David Byrne. Yes. Yeah. Of Talking Heads fame.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not him. That's
and he's sort of very like one note characters, and they have such an odd relationship in this
just,
movie.
So the, this like first quarter of the movie, like the first act, if you will, it's just like, I kept thinking like, for the love of God, you're like doing overnight stock, lock the fucking doors. Like, why aren't you like lock the windows, lock the doors. The David Burns character kept coming in. Like, you guys did this yourself.
Yeah.
And then he like struck his ex-girlfriend, made her bleed. And then they're like, oh, well, no, we're going to let him go and then call the cops. I'm like, okay.
I kind of feel like he wrestled away and got away, but I don't remember.
Which very, again, winged it. Very well done choreograph. I'm being sarcastic. It was like kind of goofy. Like,
because there's other store clerks, a couple guys, right? At least 3-4 other men in this. And you just have the two female leads, Linda and Jennifer.
Which the more I think about it, I feel like in the grand scheme of things, Ted and Sam had no earthly clue what was going on.
Right. Yeah.
Because they never show up in the the main storeroom.
In any of the story plot. Anytime there's like, because there's like a big scene where the owner of the store tells them that they're going to close the store down. And this is just like an overnight thing they're doing. Overnight stocking, I guess. I guess they do it semi-regularly. And then they're going to overnight it. And then tells them the store's going to close down. And then that night is when people start killing him, and they heavily imply that Craig is the killer, but to such a comedic,
like too heavy-handed. Yeah, it's like,
yeah,
obviously it's not him.
Yeah, it's obviously not him. And so like, but
the, and I didn't like that they obviously also set it up like he's gonna save the day just because he was like literally beating his ex-girlfriend.
Yeah Well,
I'm like, what?
It was the 80s, a different time, John.
Yeah,
the lie we tell each other. So
the heyday of current Congress.
Yeah, we have never left the 80s. But yeah, that's pretty much the gist is that they're kind of like stuck there overnight. They're getting kind of like slowly picked off, and the quote unquote intruder is heavily thought to be Craig. You know what have been a good name for this movie instead of Intruder? The Night Crew. How about that?
The Night. I think that's what it was meant to be called, right? But then
The Night Crew.
Some other movie came out around the same time that had a similar title.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Like, I think that would have been a way like more aptly descriptive of this movie, because Intruder is kind of confusing. Like,
or maybe like a title like You All Seem Don't to Not Get It. I'm not stuck in here with you, you're stuck in here with me.
Yeah.
That's from The Watchmen.
Oh.
It's a Rorschach in the prison.
Oh, Rorschach, yeah. He has that mask, the cool mask, right?
Yeah. Unlike this one, where there is no mask.
I always thought it was funny that the mask always is a picture of my dad. No, I'm just
kidding. I saw two elephants doing something. But anyway. Yeah. I was also, I wanted to point out that I guess during the release of this on VHS, the people that were producing or like distributing put the actual killer on the cover, which I'm like,
yeah,
that would have really ruined the movie.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. I think also. Yeah.
Oh, actually, in the one where that we're looking at right now, if you look at IMDb, yeah, that poster.
I was about to say, don't look at the poster of this movie or look it up. Just find it and watch it.
And then did you go through and scroll through? Like, yeah, don't even scroll through them, because the next one has like a clear actual photo
of who the killer is. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I would say before we spoil it, that I think it's kind of a cop out who the killer is. It's so like
a little bit,
a little like,
and it's also like tacked on. If you're a fan of all these people, mm-hmm. at some point you're going to wonder where this actor's at.
Right.
Because he seems to disappear from
they sort
the
of,
time something happens.
Yeah. They sort of like fake, do a little fake out of like, this might have happened, but yeah, no, it was.
Yeah.
And to, in other words, to put that scene there so therefore they can surprise you with like, ah, it was actually this guy and he has good reasons. Or he has a reason. I don't know if it's good or not, but.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. That's where they. I think they thought about like, well, does this make sense? And then they just kept giving our killer lines to justify everything he did.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, do you have anything else to mention before we get to the spoilers?
No.
All right. Let's go to spoilers.
Actually, okay. We'll go to spoilers.
Wait! No, no, no. Stop. Stop. Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers.
Dan Hicks.
Dan Hicks.
Billy, which Dan Hicks plays, I forgot the guy's name, in Evil Dead 2, but he's dating Billy Joe, the hillbilly chick.
Ah, yeah. He was in Darkman named Skip.
Skip. He's the, yeah, he's the dude that, missing the leg, right?
Yeah.
Remember in Darkman, like, I think Ted Raimi, I think it's him, kicks his leg off and then uses it as a gun while he's jumping around laughing.
That's
like hopping on one leg.
That's a great movie I got to revisit.
I love that movie. It yes. is more unhinged than you remember, I promise.
Oh, yeah, like, yeah.
Every time I watch it, I'm like, geez.
Were you a fan of Raimi's other movie? Was it Quick and the Dead?
I liked it, yeah.
I revisited.
I remember,
man,
I remember liking it.
If you have time, I would revisit it again because it is wild, wild like spaghetti western.
Now, really? You know, I think that's the same thing with Darkman where I remember being like, oh yeah, it's like a dark horror.
Like, yeah, it's like serious movie, yeah.
But it's like bonkers. I don't know. I think they do a deep dive into the mentality of what that guy would go through. Mm-hmm. But anyways, we're not talking
about, talking about Darkman. It was Bill Hicks, and his motivation was, Dan Hicks. His motivation was that he was the co-owner, and the owner sort of made this decision without him, which made him go...
Oh, the Piggly Wiggly. No, I forgot what it was called.
It made him go crazy, and so therefore he started like killing everybody there for reasons.
Oh, real quick, did we mention that the Oldsmobile's in this?
The Oldsmobile's also in this, yes.
So Sam Raimi's Oldsmobile that he puts in every movie's in this before we get yelled at. But,
yeah.
So yeah, it was Dan Hicks, and his reason was up, you know, obviously because he was like, this is my whole life. And then when asked like, why'd you kill all these other people? He's like, I got a little carried away.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, fair, right? That's a, no.
Yeah, it happens to the best of us. Yeah,
you all have a bad day, right? Yeah, so that was, that's kind of, I guess that's why he brutally murdered all his staff. Even though they said it wasn't like, I don't know if it would have made more sense if this was set like the last day of this supermarket. Wouldn't that make more sense? Instead of like. I thought
they had like 2 months or something, right?
Yeah, they had like 2 weeks, 2 months before it officially closed or whatever. His new owners take it over. I don't know. I was a little underwhelmed by his motivation to kill all his coworkers. Not that you need much motivation anyways.
No, right? Especially if you live in Bell, California. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Please don't worry.
Yeah. But yeah, so that was kind of it. I was surprised that our lead kind of had like a boyfriend character, like one of the guys that helped, you know, throw out Craig.
No,
I think he did. Yeah.
I don't know if the other one was for Rene Estevez, but the other guy that, because those two, I hate to say it, but those two dudes look
exactly
almost identical to me. And I was like, I couldn't tell which was which.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I tried to look at their IMDb. I couldn't recognize either one. But I like how they try to make a quick love story and then like he's immediately murdered. And that was quite actually surprising. I thought
he'd be like a hero or something.
Yeah.
Right?
Like at least a couple of people might, you know.
I do like that Liz Kern played the main protagonist. She wasn't
terrible.
I mean, she fought back a little bit at the end. I mean, she's the reason, the killer mostly goes down.
Mm-hmm.
But we have seen her in Night of the Creeps mm-hmm. with, more importantly, Skeleton Boy's stud extraordinaire, Tom Atkins.
Fuck boy, Tom Atkins.
Yeah. And then she was also in The Wraith, which is also one of my favorite movies.
Great movie, yeah. It's good. It's a good movie, not a great movie. I don't know.
I love The Wraith.
I remember watching it and being completely like it was like at awe of the movie and thinking like, oh my God, this movie's so violent. I was just like, oh.
I don't know. It's like nobody, you don't really see anybody die. They just kind of blow up. They show a lot of explosions, really.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah. It's revisiting it. It's a total B movie.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
But yeah, so that was it. And then, the ending's really kind of the last kind of key part of this where Craig is still around.
Real quick, I got to mention that another weird red herring that they put into the movie is that David Burns is, what's his name? Craig. The ex-boyfriend who beats Liz Kern, he gets caught by somebody else who tries to stab him. So in self-defense, the ex-boyfriend kills this other guy, which also makes it seem like, okay, he's the killer, but obviously he's not.
Right, yeah.
Because I think somebody else dies like immediately right after, like in a different part of the store.
Right. Is this the guy, you're referring to the murder that happened in front of the store when she tries to leave the front door, right? Like Craig is there, right? Or something? There's one of the guys gets murdered outside of the store?
One of the guys gets murdered outside of the store, and it's like a knife fight, right. I think, from what I remember.
Yeah.
It's been a week since I've seen this movie. But yeah, I just remember that he like inadvertently kills somebody else, and then it makes it seem like, oh.
I didn't do nothing.
By the end of the movie, he like 100% deserves to go to jail, regardless of him trying to protect.
Well, I don't know, John. You'd be very judgy. We don't know the specifics of the knife fight. Who knifed who first?
That's true. Oh, hold on.
See? Hey. Otis agrees with me.
He disagrees
with me.
our special guest, Otis Redding, he talks and barks and drools. And
sits on the dock of the bay.
Waiting for treats.
Waiting for treats.
As the time passes away. You started doing that and he's like, what, treats? He's whistling, where's the treats?
But yeah, so the last part of this movie is Craig actually comes, like you're kind of mentioning, that he comes to the rescue of Jennifer as he tries to get away from Bill from killing her, I guess. And then I don't remember all the details, I'll be honest, but Bill ends up in a phone booth, crushed in it, and he's bleeding out and dying.
I don't remember how that happened.
I don't remember either.
I'm guessing the boyfriend ran the car into it because there's a car next to the phone
booth. Yeah, that tracks.
In a weird. I don't know how the physics don't make sense, but
yeah, I don't know the intention of Scott Spiegel's making Craig a redeemable in this after being such a fucking dick through most of it. You would think like story logic would say like, oh, well, Craig will sacrifice himself and maybe he like does, but dies also. Right. That would probably have been the,
nope.
The movie happens. Way to end the character, but no, they both make it out and somehow the cops show up. Which
I don't know, or Bruce Campbell and Lawrence, what's his name?
Bender.
Bender, yeah.
They show up and then...
which, by the way, there's two other cops that they kind of establish, like, oh, yeah, we'll be nearby. And they're like old guys.
Couldn't afford
and
them.
And then at the end...
Only had them for 1 week.
It'd be funny if you look it up and it's supposed to be the same characters.
That would be funny, yeah. So the cops show up and they see Jennifer and Craig, and Bill does the character dying, says that, oh, what does he say? Like, oh, they tried to rob me. Or,
no,
they
like,
did
they
it.
They did it. They killed me. They killed everybody in the store. And something that was clearly not rehearsed. It feels like they just decided this would be the ending instead.
Yeah.
Liz Kern and David Burns are both like at different times, almost like they're waiting for each other to stop. Liz Kern goes like, no, and then beat, and then David Burns would do something like, oh, and then she would go and go like, no. It was like very
cut to black. Yeah. It's
unfortunately not quick enough. It kind of dragged for a little bit.
Yeah. It's a little silly. Like it's a little, it was, I think the intention of it was melodramatic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The acting.
It's very soap opera-ish.
Yeah. Kind of.
You want to hear trivia about soap operas?
Sure.
Okay, so back in the 1930s, there were very prominent radio dramas that everybody listened to because that's about all they could do, and they were all funded by companies like
soap.
Lever.
Yeah,
they're all soap. Yep, soap companies, and that's why they call them soap operas. Yeah. And that's why they're called Seal Bumpers.
And then they would have like little interludes where they would promote the product, a la Truman Show, but less obvious.
Get real clean, you dumb looking peen. Stuff
like that, yeah. Yeah. It's not where like they had, and they also used to stand on boxes, soapbox. Is that right? Oh. Yeah. No, I don't know. I just made that up.
And then they would put a bunch of stuff into a bowl full of water and call it soap. Oh, wait, that's spelled differently. It's soup. Sorry.
I'm hungry. Yeah. I'm hungry. With some soup.
I'm hungry. Oh, no. I boiled soap again instead of making soup. Damn.
People were really stupid back then. So then I actually thought that's an interesting ending, if just not really well executed, kind of muddled.
No, but I do like that. The only character that didn't deserve anything was Liz Kern.
And you know what? They almost pulled that off also in Scream 4. Because I've been revisiting a lot of... Well, I've been hearing a lot about, like, watching videos about the Scream, the series, and I'm reminded of 4, how it's Emma Roberts, right? Oh, spoilers for Scream 4. It's Emma Roberts. She plays the cousin, and she, like... frames, or she pretends like she was a victim of the attack, even though she's the one that kind of orchestrated and is one of the ghost face killers. And supposedly
a series about a family of people with mental illness that nobody wants to address.
Sure, yeah, I don't, yeah, most of that.
It's basically a series about the American which healthcare family? System and how it's failing.
Prescott, exactly, all of them. Loomis family, Prescott family. Which family are you speaking of?
I think they're all the same now.
But yeah, no, so like I think that's why, and supposedly Wes Craven wanted it to be like that's how it was supposed to end, with like Sydney dying and then Emma Roberts' character survives, and then that was gonna lead it right into 5. So but of course they didn't do that, right? So I don't know, that ending kind of reminded me of that ending where like the bad guy gets away, not seen often enough. Can you think of another one? I feel like no, off the top of your head, we don't have to dwell on it, but do you think of maybe another ending of it?
I know next week for sure I'll probably think of one.
Sorry. Fair.
Not in the next 10 minutes, because we're definitely going to have to do this weekly, not sometimes two in a row.
Dude, yeah.
Where the killer gets away.
Did they? Okay, we'll talk about it next week. Or soon.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
I guess the end of Nightmare on Elm Street, right?
Halloween.
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of examples. Where you have that, like, I know what you did last summer, right? Where he comes out of the shower, I'm here. But that, I mean, it's it's more played like what is it? The last sort of jump scare.
Oh, Usual Suspects.
Usual Suspects, yeah.
When they let that that rapist get away.
Yeah.
Where's the lie?
Yeah. Kaiser Soze.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sure he used that name a lot. anyway.
Alrighty. Cool. John, do you have any other thoughts before we rate the movie?
No, I'm ready to rate this movie.
Alright. How many sexy spooky bones do you want to get?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give me? Sexy bones.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm gonna get Intruder 4 sexy spooky bones.
4 spooky bones. All right, I'm gonna do. I just do a 5. I thought it was fine. I didn't think it was terrible. I thought there's
no. It just for me doesn't have rewatchability. I think it's because it just, even though killings were happening, it felt kind of awkwardly paced in the middle. It's kind of losing track. Like I was like not losing track, just losing focus.
Excuse me. Yeah, I 100% agree with you. Yeah, it was.
You're allergic to all the bullshit.
No, I 100% agree with that. I think that it was. Kind of just like. A little more time, a little more focus to iron out some of these other details, I think would have helped. There's definitely something here, but just not fully formed. Cool. All right, guys, girls, on Binary Pals. Thank you for listening, as always.
Stay spooky. That's all.